Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a repeat guest. I had so much fun the other day talking with Peggy Burdick on the program that I invited her, and she agreed. Very nice of her to come back on the program. She is the Financial Whisperer. She's a financial expert, a coach, an author. She's written the book, and I love the book. I'm holding it here, and I'm highlighting the book. It's never about the money, even when it is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. Peggy Burdick, ladies and gentlemen, here she is.
Oh, hey, David, you're so gracious. I love talking to you.
Well, thank you. Well, I love having guests that have great insight, which you do, into not only money, but really how we view money, our relationships with money. And I especially appreciate your insight that you have into how women view money, because a lot of what I do is working with couples, and I really enjoy, and I'm not just saying this, okay, but I really enjoy working with women because of how they view money. And so whenever I work with a couple, I of course always insist that they both be there. And so your insight is very helpful to this subject.
Yeah, because you have to understand how the clock is made. And when you understand that women think very differently about money, then you can help them. Otherwise, it's always going to be kind of glazed eyes and looking off and discomfort and not having good eye contact at all. And it happens between women and women. When I've gone into financial situations or talked to bankers, and I was a mortgage broker, some women bank speak, and they totally lose the woman they're talking to.
This is women you're talking about. These are women financial advisors that lose the... Well, that's interesting because, obviously, as an advisor, I notice the advertising and marketing of other advisors. And a lot of times I'll see women advisors marketing, obviously toward women because of what we would suppose to be a natural or better understanding of the woman's needs because of the advisor being a woman. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
Well, no, because some things another woman will get with a total stranger, a woman who's a stranger. And the other thing she's actually going to miss, because the fundamental issue for everybody really is to be able to connect. And there are men out there, and I think you are one of them, that absolutely can connect with somebody. If you don't have that, then you have nothing. You don't have a foundation to build upon, which is all about trust. So when you get into the same space as the person you're talking to, then it can move forward. But what happens to a lot of female bankers is that they start talking to women, and because they themselves are not grounded, they don't realize that the woman they're talking to has basically left the room, and she's doing the nodding thing. And you might find this when you're talking to
a couple.
Oh,
I know what that nodding thing means. Right? I know that means. That doesn't mean I agree with you. That means I'm giving you permission to keep talking.
Right. Oh, God, is that a perfect... It's true. It's absolutely true. And that the key to know if someone's really getting it or really there is, A, you can see it in their eyes, and B, they're going to ask you questions.
Yeah.
Then you know someone's engaged. Otherwise, it's just rubber stamping it, and you've lost them. You never had them to begin with to even lose. So it's a tricky dance, for sure.
I think it's very interesting also that women advisors, and you mentioned bankers, financial advisors, they also, because again, they are, whether we like it or not, some of this man's world thing or just their interaction with men, some of that filters over to how they interact with the women clients because, when a guy is nodding, he's agreeing. But with a woman, it's very different. But and then, of course, their views on money. And I wish I had it in front of me, but there have been several articles recently in the paper. Wall Street Journal and USA Today have had several articles ranging from boomer women having a greater concern about their finances and being more unsecure about them. And also just the sheer way they approach investing is very different, much more conservative.
Oh, it's true, and it's funny because I've read some of the similar surveys, and they were talking about risk tolerance and why women tend to be less philanthropic, give less money to philanthropies. Men give more, but women are on par with men with their retirement programs, but women will then be on the grand level and devoting more of their time to the charities, and men don't want to touch it.
Isn't that interesting?
I know, they give the money. They won't show up to do the hard work of teaching a child how to read, but they'll pay money for it. So we all come to solve the same problem from a very different vantage point.
Very interesting, Peggy. We're going to take a quick break, come back. So stick around. We're going to be talking directly to women about some of these subjects related to money, and we'll dig into it. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market?
How can you tell?
It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, and if you're just joining us, Peggy Burdick is my guest. She's a repeat offender, a repeat guest. I'm glad. I'm very glad she's not offensive in any way, but she is great to have back on the program. The website, you have to go to the website, thefinancialwhisperer.com. A lot of good stuff there. The book, of course, is Never About the Money, Even When It Is, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. And there's so much we could go over. I promised you this time, Peggy, we would drill into a couple things. And one of them that really struck me from your book, and I know some of the things you've talked about, is how women can stop sabotaging their finances. Talk about that, because I think people say, well, who would want to sabotage their finances? But what is it that causes that, especially as it relates to women?
Well, here's the problem. Is it finances, just like weight, just like being a workaholic, taking antidepressants, all of that is what I call collateral damage. It's not the source, it's the appearance. You get to see in that particular theater that someone has angst, someone has pain. So if we go further upstream to the source of it, and that's why that wagon wheel that we have in the first chapter is so powerful, because it shows the core of the wagon wheel is damaged, it's cracked. The spokes that emanate from the center are going to be other issues in your life, your finances, your kids, your dog, your job, your coworkers, your in-laws, whatever. All of them are going to be impacted by the wheel wobbling, and the wheel is wobbling because it's cracked. So if we heal the center, which is basically self-esteem, if we fix that, everything else will be smooth. So we won't sabotage their finances. So What do people, and it could be anybody, because this is not so gender specific at this point, why do people sabotage themselves? Well, first of all, it's the way of expressing pain. They can't be direct, they're going to be indirect. And number two is that people have lived with pain, this kind of emotional pain, since they're 5 years old, since they're 4 years old. They've locked it into their system, physically locked it into their body. So it's the only thing they know. So but here they are, and they're 25 years old, and they have access to have certain skills, but emotionally they're still acting like they're five. That's where the two tracks come in. That's where the split is. That's where the sabotage lives.
That's remarkable. So the sabotage then is if I heard you correctly, it's an indirect expression of
yes.
pain, because we don't know how to really express it directly. And, you know, the other thing that relates to this, and I found this, I've learned this along the way, and even kind of was something I had to kind of deal with a little bit myself, is people need to give themselves permission to be successful. Because a lot of societal norms or our culture, especially for certain people and sometimes for women, depending on the age, you know, where they are and what period of time they grew up with, there's this cultural expectation about success and how successful you should be. And you throw on top of that some sort of self-sabotage. It's really, there's a lot there to overcome.
Well, there is. I mean, if we start talking about permission, you know, men need permission to not only have their feelings, but to express their feelings. It's not a cultural norm that men are allowed to cry. Little boys are told not to cry. Right? So we have both, so in our societies, everything is like wobbling and loose and disconnected and whatever, and people need to shore it up with themselves first. You cannot, and you see this all the time, people are always pontificating about what they should do over there and fix Israel and fix the government and fix the banks and fix, and meanwhile they're a mess.
Yeah. Maybe that's why women spend so much time nodding their heads or trying to give guys permission to say what they really feel, right?
I don't think men are really saying what they feel. They're saying what they think.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that is true. You know, it's always, when guys talk, we're it's always supplying information.
Oh, for sure. So it's from the shoulders up when guys talk. That's all it is. But they're not allowed to. You know, men, David, you're married, right?
Oh, yeah.
You ever say to men in public or friends, God, I'm exhausted? No, but you'll say that to your wife. women, we have no problem getting on the phone or saying, God, I'm exhausted. Yeah, so am I. We trade all that stuff. We don't look at it as a sign of weakness. Men never admit the frailties to other men.
Very rarely. And men will not ask other men if they need help.
They wait.
You know, the only time a guy will do that, Peggy, is when it's clear that the man is the head and shoulders in a different league alpha. Like, for example, if you've got a guy, you know, you got a good group of guys standing around and there, one guy's working on his motorcycle and the other guys are watching, the other guys will just watch and will not offer to help in any way, waiting for the guy to ask. But if a guy comes up who, like, you know, builds motorcycles on television, well, then that's the guy that's safe, that, you know, that can be asked to help, or that the guy will be willing to defer to, because it's such a clear distinction as opposed to just one of the other guys asking them for help.
You know, I know your gender is so amusing. You have your own theater in and of yourself. But there's something I want to make sure that I share with your listeners. There's a great book that taught me a lot about relationships. And because I know we want to talk about money and marriage. John Gray wrote a book, I think it's called Women on Fire, Men on Ice. And it's really understanding how your partner is built. What are all the pieces that come together? Because if you can start to understand each other, you can manage situations much better. And it's always going to come down at some point to money.
Now, which one was ice and which one was fire?
I hope the women are on fire.
Okay, because my wife's Italian. So, yeah, she's on fire.
Okay.
Well, I can definitely go with that. Peggy, we're going to take another quick break and come right back. Peggy Burdick is our guest, thefinancialwhisperer.com. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, with Peggy Burdick as our guest today, and she's one of my favorite authors and favorite guests. She's got a great book. It's Never About the Money, Even When It Is. I highly recommend that, How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money, and that's available on our website, thefinancialwhisperer.com, and a lot of other great information on the site. Peggy, we were talking before the break, of course, distinguishing between men and women. For women, I know another thing that you talk about is how to help women understand this issue that a lot of them wrestle with, the mothers, about how they have no time for themselves.
Yeah, well, what happens, you know, when you fly, the mask comes, they say to you, if we lose altitude and the mask drops down, if you are in charge of a child, you put it on first. You have to give people permission to take care of themselves first, because then you can protect and help a child who's sitting next to you, okay? Women need so much permission about so many things in their lives. But when you're a mother, you have to juggle even more. And I have this whole program now that I've developed for mothers here in Los Angeles. We have live workshops with low-income mothers. But the point is that it's complicated, because the mother will always, always, always put her needs last. Well, guess where the husband is?
Oh, I know exactly where he is. Right? I know exactly where he is.
Right?
He's after her.
Yeah, well, the thing is that women need to learn boundaries, segment time away from their children so they can spend it with their husbands, because husbands don't like to be neglected.
Yeah.
They have certain things that they need. You got to give it to them. You got to make them happy, and vice versa. Things that we need, if my spouse is listening, great, I know that he'll take care of those things for me.
And again, I've always said this, and it's not being cute or playing to anybody's ego, but we all want to be important. And so I think that making time for ourselves, put the mask on, so to speak, first is really important. And I guess where that ties in with money is that, you know, when it comes time, of course, for people to be planning their retirement, is making sure that when they look at what they spend their money on, and we, you know, we're coming up on the holiday seasons, and I know you have some thoughts about that as well, as it relates to gift giving and also how that sets an example for children. But people need to be really thinking about, you know, what message they send to the kids, and also, you know, the priorities they place for themselves.
Oh, yeah. What is Christmas really about? Christmas is about gratitude. That's what it should be about. I am grateful. I'm thankful. Thank you very much. It's about your values. That money crept into this over, you know, generations and generations, has now taken it over, and now people value Christmas because of how many gifts they got or what they got or how expensive, and it's all distorted. Because what you should be, I think, doing is setting a budget. Think, I can afford, whether it's $50 a person or whatever the thing is, a small budget. And on the other side of it, what you need to do is give yourself something many years ago I saw a family do is they gave coupon books to each other. So there were babysitting coupons, there were car wash coupons, massage coupons, errands, the day belongs to you coupons, right? So you spend time together. That's what a lot of people run away from, David. They don't have the intimacy. They maybe never had it, or they had it and they lost it. And it's not just about between husband and wife intimacy. It's really about the emotional intimacy you have with your children as well. So to be able to take Christmas time and do it all year round, but especially at Christmas time, to be able to say, you know, this is what's important. It's being appreciative and grateful for how you've come into my life, the things you give me, the things that you share with me. That's what makes someone feel important.
That's very good. I love that. This day belongs to you. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm going to see how many of those I can get for Christmas. But, you know, and it also kind of dovetails into, you know, when you talk about setting a budget, because another challenge people have, of course, is debt management. And I think that's because, again, trying to meet certain expectations. And you've seen that with women. What would you say, I guess, as it relates to women about how they get into debt in the first place? Because, again, it's never about the money, even when it really is.
So why is someone spending, you know, $300 or $400 on a pair of shoes when they don't have a savings account? If you stop right there, why is someone buying a latte every day for $5, right? Does it make sense? No. You can bring your own coffee. You can bring your own lunch. You can do your own, so you can control your money. But you can't do that. Again, you don't have permission to do that unless you understand what it's about for you. I want to protect myself. I want to make sure that I have enough money in my savings account, so I have a choice. I can get a hamburger for $7, or I can bring my own food for $1. And frankly, I know where my hands have been, right? I say, oh, I think I'm going to spend $1 on my own food. That builds my self-esteem. It builds my sense of groundedness and boundaries. I'm not giving in to the laziness of going down the street to buy a $7 hamburger, and it's bad for you on top of it. I love hamburgers, by the way. But the point of it is, that when we make certain decisions that are healthy, I came up with this new thing. I have this new book coming out, and I have this little thing called a respectometer. So it's a cartoon, and you imagine what a meter looks like. And you have the left side, which is, you need to try harder next time. And you got the far right side, which is, I have so much respect for you. Bravo. Bravo. And in the center, that's the moment of choice. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to pick the latte? Sorry, you went over the left side, or bring your coffee from your own house, go to the right side, then you have respect. So when you start playing these little games with yourself in your mind, all it does is either makes you feel better, or say to yourself, tough today, I'm going to try again tomorrow and be sincere about it.
That's very good, Peggy. We're going to take one more quick break. Peggy Burdick is our guest, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
All right, we're back with Peggy Burdick. Sorry for the tongue twister there. Peggy Burdick, and she is an expert financial coach, an author. It's never about the money, even when it is, and how to untangle your emotions from your money. And you're going to have another book coming out, and you'll be sure to let me know, Peggy, when you have that, because we'll have you come back and talk more about it on the program.
Okay.
Anything that we can leave our listeners with, really, and again, I know that we wanted to speak directly to women today. Last couple minutes here, financial tools that they can take advantage of, or tools in general they can take advantage of to get more stability in their life?
Yeah, Yeah, two things. Well, first, I want to say this first, because I so appreciate, David, you inviting me back. I want to give the book away free, the PDF version free, to any of your listeners. Mm. Go to my website.
Excellent.
And up for my newsletter, I get notified, I will send you the PDF of the book.
Great.
Okay, so in terms of tools, here's a great tool. It's all about being in the moment, because that's when you have choice. Make a list up of 10 things you love that you like and 10 things you dislike. Okay, so whenever you find yourself wobbling, nervous, whatever, because that's why some people spend money. They go shopping. Oh, I'm having an anxiety attack or whatever. No. Focus on the 10 things that you love. And that helps you center yourself to yourself. Conversely, here comes the holidays. There are things you don't like. Well, you know, Barbara doesn't want to go to Christmas dinner because she always feels very alone and isolated. Okay. But if she puts it on her list, she knows it's coming. She's a choice to go or not to go. Okay. And if she does go, that she wears enough armor, protects herself enough that she can go and be with everyone and have no expectations, okay, and so she can leave the evening feeling intact. Having control, being centered, knowing who you are is the way to stop adding to the debt you already have. Consciousness, building self-awareness. That's the purpose of my book, David, and that's the mission I'm on, is to get people learn the emotional vocabulary. Learn about themselves. That's where all the power is.
Outstanding. Peggy, that's all the time we have. It's never about the money, even when it is. How to Untangle Your Emotions from Your Money. TheFinancialWhisper.com. And as Peggy said, you can go to her website and there's directions there. Get a free download of the book. Very cool. And Peggy, we will have you back on. Please let me know when the new book comes out. And it's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, David.
All right.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.